بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This afternoon we were speaking about Abu Sa'id, Shah Abu Sa'id, the son of Shah Abdul Quddus Sabah Rahmatullahi Gangohi. And he had come up to Gangoh, he had come up to Balkh, and he had received a grand reception, very great istiqbal. The Sheikh's son is coming, so a very warm and a great reception. And this continued for several days until Shah Abu Sa'id, he expressed his coming to the Sheikh Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, that I haven't come for all this, for this glory and for this pomp and for this royal reception, I haven't come for that. So Hazrat Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh says to him, then son, very frankly explain what's the intention of your coming. So he says, no, I've come to acquire the treasure that you had taken from my father. That you had come to India and you had stayed in the company of my father until you had been blessed with that great treasure, that great blessing. So this blessing that you had taken away, I came to take that. So he says that immediately the Sheikh's eyes turned color. He says, get off. You're sitting now on the throne, now get off the throne. And you put on the second cloth, that coarse cloth, then you get into the toilets, and this is the work you need to be doing. And you don't even have the permission to come and sit in my gathering. You just remain there. Continue for all this period. So the one day that he was completed with his khidmat and whatever work he had been assigned with, the bangan is the woman that cleans the sewage, be it of the toilet or be it of the animals, whatever. So the bangan was asked that when you're taking the basket with all the filth, then you must pass by him and see some of the dirt falls onto him, some of the dirt that you're carrying, all the napak, some must fall onto him. So she complied, and he says, Na hota gango. There's only Gango that fixed you up. Now it's foreign territory, I can't do what I want, what I need to do. Because Gango I have fixed you up. So she reports the whole incident. To Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh. And Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh says, Acha, abhi tak sahib zad ki unke dimaag se nahi nikla. Till now, that feeling that I am the son of this buzurg and I'm a great personality, this has not left him, it hasn't departed him. Shows that abhi bahut kuch papar bilne parenge, he still has to go through the mill. That must completely leave him, that I am something, I am so and so, all that must just depart. You see, one of the main stumbling blocks in this whole exercise is this aspect of pride and arrogance. Like I had explained, a cursory glance at the Quran, and you'll find approximately 8 places where this takabbur and this pride comes as the main hurdle. Comes as the hurdle. Man is progressing so well, but then when the pride comes, he can't get to terms with pride. And the very essence of this pride is that one wishes to be distinguished. In whatever he's doing, he wants to be distinguished. Some respect, some glory, some recognition is given to him. If the recognition, acknowledgement is given to him, he feels comfortable. And if the type of respect and acknowledgement is not given to him, he doesn't feel comfortable. So this is, in most cases, this is the hurdle, this is the problem. In fact, when they say, Al-ghibat wa shaddu min al-zina, you know, that ghibat is worse off than zina. Ghibat, zina is bad, obviously. Zina is bad, obviously is bad. But ghibat is even worse than that. Why is it that ghibat is worse? Whereas we take it so lightly. Once in the Markaz, Hazrat Jamal Inamul Hasan Sabrah has explained this point. He says, see, Hazrat Inamul Hasan Sabrah was a great expert in hadith. Though he would not show it, people didn't know about it, but overall he was an expert in hadith. So explaining, he says, see, the hadith says that a person who says La ilaha illallah, he will go to Jannat. And the Sahabi asks, Wa in zana wa in saraqa. Even if at some time he had committed zina and he had committed theft, then will he go to Jannat? The Wisdom said yes. And he repeated the question, and the Wisdom said yes again, and the third time. To the contrary, there's another hadith which comes, La yadkhulul jannata man kana fi qalbi misqalu dharratin min kibrin. An atom, the measure of an atom of pride, and you don't get into Jannat. The measure of an atom of pride, and you don't get entry into Jannat. Here the hadith says that the one who's fornicated and committed theft, he'll go Jannat if he says La ilaha illallah. And here the other hadith speaks about one having the measure of an atom of pride, not entering into Jannat. So Azadji Rahmatullah explained both hadiths. He says, see, stealing and zina, this is related to nafs. Your lust and your temptation had the better over you, and you became a victim of circumstances. And pride, it has got its root, it stems up from shaitan, aba wastakbara, right? Aba wastakbara, and this thing is coming up from shaitan. Pride, arrogance, recognition, publicity, it's coming from here. And the sin that is motivated, it's spurred up from shaitan, the consequences of it is far worse than the sin that is motivated and spurred up by nafs. Right? One is nafsani and the other sin is shaitani. So So jealousy, pride, arrogance, greed, all this is spurred up by shaitan. And stealing and lust, etc., sins that are connected to lust, they are spurred up from nafs. The consequences of the sins that are spurred up from shaitan is far worse. So you see that a person is going on, he's doing on very well, he's going on very well. But then suddenly the nafs has a bit over him. See, the Quran Sharif says in Surah Zumar, right? قِيلَ ادْخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهُمْ أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the kafirs and them entering into Jahannam, right? سيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا. And then he gives the reason for these people entering into Jahannam. فبئس مثوى المتكبرين. That takabbur was the thing that pushed them into Jahannam. That takabbur was the thing that pushed them into kufr. So the illat of kufr was takabbur. Like in the case of shaitan, aba was takbara. The illat for defying was takabbur. So here the illat for kufr was takabbur again. Do you see that? How clearly it's coming up. Fabi isa maswal mutakabbirin. Like, child, he comes to madrasa, right? And he's failed, right? So the failing is his result. That's his result at the end of the year, he's failed. But now, what was the reason for his failure? One is failure, like I say, kafir. Here it's a failure. So what was the reason for the failure? The reason for the failure was he wasn't paying attention, right? Similarly, what is the illat of kufr? The illat for kufr is takabbur. Like here, the reason for the failure was not paying attention. He was ignoring his work, he didn't pay attention. And that then led him to this failure. So generally, the class of ulama, of learned people, then these are the two sins that they are generally involved in. Sometimes takabbur, and sometimes jealousy. Sometimes it's jealousy, sometimes it's takabbur. These are the two things that they get involved in. One student, and it's so discreet, this takabbur thing is such a discreet thing, such a subtle thing, can't make it out. Just give an example. One student, perhaps he was in the sixth year, some times ago, so he says to me that he wants to attend some program after Maghrib. There's a program after Maghrib, and normally after Maghrib is the study time. And now he asks for permission that he may be exempt to attend the program that is held after Maghrib. So I asked him, I sat him down, I asked him, say for example you were in the first year or you were in the pre-first year, would you have asked for permission to go and attend the program that is taking place after Maghrib? He says, no, I won't have asked for permission. So now coming into the sixth year, what prompts you to ask for permission that you may be exempt to attend that program after Maghrib? Now, his eyes opened up. His eyes really opened, literally his eyes opened up. What a shock now. Doesn't know what jolted him. So then he comes to the point, he says, no, now that I'm the sixth year, I think I'm something. Final year now, final year, matric. In school also it happens. The matriculant, he thinks something of himself. He feels that I need to have certain additional privileges compared to the other rest of the lighties around. All the small children, they don't have the privileges. I enjoy certain additional privileges. So this is that takabbur. The takabbur, where you want a little bit of a distinguished type of treatment. You want to be distinguished from the rest of the crowd. So the ilaj and the cure of it is be one of the crowd. Don't ask for the distinguished position. Be like one of the crowd. As Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, this announcement goes nearly every day in Nizamuddin. I don't know if it still goes, but in one zamana, Marhum Mawlana Suleiman Janji Rahmatullah Alayh, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. So he has two standard announcements after Isha. Before Hazratji will come and read the Hayat al-Sahaba, Mawlana Suleiman Sahib, he will have two standard announcements. One announcement is Iman or Saman ki Hifazat. Still happens. Iman or Saman ki Hifazat. And he's got one tartib of saying that apne joote hai, chappal hai, handbag hai, attachi hai. This is a tartib. Same tartib. Don't know. Joote hai, chappal hai, handbag hai, attachi. Every day, same tartib will say. Apne Saman ki Hifazat khud kare. That is the one announcement. Then the second announcement he'll make, or Iman ki hifazat ke liye sunnaton ke ehtimam ke saath khatma bil khair ki dua kare. They make this announcement. Still, sure. So this is the one announcement they make in Nizamuddin, that look after your own possessions. Number two is make dua after the sunnat muakkada, make dua for the khatma bil khair. He'll say this, and thereafter he will continue, says, or Bare Hazratji, he'll say Bare Hazratji, that he referred to Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah. Bare Hazratji ne farmaya, ke jo yahaan par Nizamuddin mein hazir ho, aur yahaan ke istimai aamal mein shariq na rahe, to apne aap ko yahaan par aya hua na samjhe. They say that also. They don't say that. Alright. جو یہاں پر آیا ہوا ہو اور استماعی اعمال میں شریک نہ رہے تو اپنے آپ کو یہاں پر آیا ہوا نہ سمجھے. The one that comes to Nizam al-Din and he doesn't participate, he doesn't partake in the collective programs, then he mustn't consider himself to be coming to Nizam al-Din. The one who comes to Nizam al-Din and does not partake of the collective programs, they must not consider himself to be coming to Nizamuddin. In other words, he hasn't taken the benefit. Hazratji Rahman used to mention this, something similar. He says, Hazrat's ruh, his soul, is in the work. Someone is in the khanqa, and he is in the ta'lim, in the discourses, in the ta'lim that Hazrat is giving out. So, he is actually benefiting from the very essence of the khanqa. And the other one, who is not participating in the collective work, or the work that was designed at the khanqa for him at that time, you know, doing any other work, namaz or whatever, but he is not taking the benefit. He may be making nafil namaz, he may be doing everything else. But he is not participating in the collective programs that are designed and that are programmed there, then he must consider himself to be out. Says he doesn't benefit from my presence. See? So this aspect here is it's quite a difficult thing to distinguish the nafsaniyat, to distinguish, to understand the nafs. The nafs is a very subtle thing. It expresses its takabbur in a very discreet way. And I say to overcome it, the antidote of it is just consider yourself to one of the crowd. I don't want any distinguished position. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Just one of the crowd. I don't want anything distinguished. Now, what is the reason why they ask you to sit in the collective programs? While the namaz was carrying on, my mind started running. This thought of Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah is this malfuz, and then my mind started running. So what is the reason? Why do they say that you sit in those collective programs? Don't be aloof, don't remain from that. Everything else you can compromise. You can decrease everything else, but this collective programs, don't ever stay away from that. So there's two reasons that came to my mind. One is to say, yaksaat ba suhbate awliya behtar asad sala ta'at beriya. He says to sit for a moment in the company of the awliya is superior to 100 years of worship without riya. Imagine to get ibadat without riya, that's a great thing. But sitting in the company of the awliya for a moment is superior than 100 years of ibadat without riya. Do you see that? The one is now your individual ibadat. And one is now the collective programs that are taking place at the khanqah under the guidance of the sheikh whoever it is. Right? So do you see the difference? Is it the same? No, not the same. So here that is more virtuous than 100 years of ibadat without riya. Though that ibadat is done without riya, 100 years of ibadat. Yak saat ba suhbate awliya behtar asad sala ta'at be riya. 100 years of worship without riya. So now, why is it so virtuous? Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri Rahmatullah Alayh. Now, these people, they had eyes. What? They had eyes. Hum to andhe, we are blind, they had eyes. So I just want to explain one statement of his. He says, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, that was his sheikh, right? Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, کہ چہرے انور کے اوپر ایک نظر یہ ایک طرف اور ہزار رکعت نمازیں دوسری طرف میں اس کو ترجیح دیتا ہوں. This having a glance, simple glance at Mona's face, one glance, and on the other end 1,000 rakats of namaz, I prefer this. See? You see how they hold, in what esteem they hold the elder. So this is where we get off, we go off. Right? Ramzan time, definitely it's a month for additional ibadat. There's no doubt, no two ways about it. But then one needs to measure priority. What is the priority? What is superior? As Mawlana Thanvi Sahib says, that when you come to the khanqah, then what do you come to acquire? He says, the thing that you come to acquire is unka zok, his taste. Ibadat aap khud bhi kar sakte ho. Ibadat you can do yourself as well. But really what do you come to acquire is his taste. That refined taste that he has, what is he inclined towards? What are his inhibitions? What are his likes, what are his dislikes? what are his characteristics. Right? This is the thing that you come to learn and acquire. And this thing comes, obviously, with that type of association. You are with him. Any collective program, you are with him. This is a one program. You don't want to sacrifice one program. You don't want to compromise one program. Now, gradually, you begin to read the man. This is what he wants. This is his taste. This is how he looks at things. So now that their taste is coming from their elder. The taste that they have acquired, where did it come from? It came from their elder. And the taste that the elder had, where did it come from? It came from their elder, until it links up with the Sahaba-i-Kiram and then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one is that zawq, one is that refined taste, which they have become the ears of, right? Then it passes on. So now how do you acquire the taste? Is with the close associate. You're watching them very carefully, sitting at the program. What is he talking about? What is he discussing? You begin to understand the fine line in that. And the other is, now my mind says me, I must read, I must stand up at night and stand up for such a long period. That's very good. If you don't mix the both up, it's very good. But now, there is a thing like priority. Now, what do I give priority to? Right? What do I give priority to? What must preference be given to? Like in a madrasa, there's a famous hadith, you know, of Hazrat Sulaiman rahmatullah alayhi, and him missing out the Fajr namaz as a result of him spending the entire night in tahajjud. And Umar radiallahu anhu expressing his disapproval. I prefer that Fajr namaz be performed with Jamaat than years of tahajjud namaz collectively. Years of tahajjud. That one Fajr namaz with Jamaat, right? All those years of tahajjud namaz cannot compensate for it. So this ibadat, etc., these programs that are supposed to be done collectively, they have their mark, they have their own effect. Now you come back to that statement, yak sa'at ba sohbate awliya behtar asad sala ta'at beriya. One moment of ibadat, one moment of the company of the awliya is better than 100 years of worship without riya. Why? Someone asked Hazrat Muhammad, how come? You're sitting in the company, and then that is more virtuous, it's more meritorious. As I was saying, this was what's playing in my mind today. As the namaz was ending, my mind just went in this tangent, you know. And then, normally when you're sitting with ulama and students, then when you're discussing something, then you want reason, right? You don't have the reason, then you can't explain, you can't impress them. Or you can't get that message going right deep into their hearts. So Moral says the reason for this is that sometimes in this sitting of the awliya, mashayikh, etc., a gur ki baat nikal jati hai. There is one prescription that is coming out. Is such a priceless prescription that it will just link you up to Allah Ta'ala. Right? One prescription. There are hundreds of things that they are talking about. There may be one thing that will just link you up. And that one prescription, that one secret that comes out, it's possible that it is in any majlis. From the 50 majlis that you have throughout Ramzan, it can come in any majlis, you don't know. So your fortune is to remain in those majlis, those programs, because you don't know in which one the thing will come out. And if it came out in one and you went there, then you lost it out. Right. You may get the naqal of it, but you didn't get it. Like in the kitab, you'll get the naqal, right? But you didn't get the original. Nakal is nakal, you don't get the original after that. I explained early on this, I think today or yesterday, that Mawla Badi Alam Sahib Mirti rahmatullahi, and the thing that brought the whole change, the whole revolution in his life, one bayan of Hazrat Mawla Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi, and he attended that one bayan, and he was in a different line. He was a BA graduate. Right? He was a BA graduate. He was on a totally different line. One bayan, his whole life took a change. One sentence was there, one statement that was there, that affected him. So this type of blessings are in the programs. And you don't know in which program that one thing may come out. You are there, you will get blessed. And you aren't there, you get left. So this is what is to be earned and what is to be acquired in this, in these gatherings, these programs of these mashayikh, etc. Their zawq, you know, you get the taste of this, their refined taste, you begin to get that. Ibadah, like I said, you can get afterwards as well. It's not that you can't get ibadah afterwards, you can get it. But now this you will not get. You will not get that zawq. So then you can try for years, and then in spite of you trying for those years, you don't get that taste. Right? You see, at any business, right? This, any institution for that matter, any business, people view the business from different perspectives, right? From different perspectives, people will look at it. One is the director, he looks at the business from a different perspective. And one is the tea boy, he will look at it from a different perspective. One is some other attendant, he will look at it from a different perspective. Right? But now what is the most intelligent thing to do? To look at the business from the viewpoint of the director. He looks at it very carefully, the director, this, that, what he does, how he attends the meetings, what he does, where does he get his import from, how he sells it. And the other is to look at it from the tea boy's perspective. And you know, tea boy must just serve, you know. You must just serve the tea and you'll get tips. So you'll get double or triple your salary. What is your salary? 1,000 you're getting in the week, and then 1,000 you're getting your tips. Right? And the other is to look at the same business, but from the viewpoint of the manager or the viewpoint of the director. He looks at it differently. How his whole business runs. Where he's scoring, where he's getting the money. And if he acquired the same taste, he himself can run the same type of business. He can open up the same plant, similar plant. That is why you find when a factory is very, very prosperous, is running very well, they don't allow strangers to come and see the plant. Because some strangers have such beautiful memories, you know, they can just capture what's going on. They just capture the whole secret, and they just take it, across. They know how to do it. They see one shot, one moment they see that machinery, they know exactly what this is going on here, and they know how to open a business in their own place. That's why they say in Gujarati, Machi khavaravani, pan machi ni dar ni batavani. So when you want, you can feed the person with the fish, but don't show him the avenue where you got the fish from. You feed him the fish, but don't show him where you got it from. If you show him where you got it from, he will start off his own fishery just now. So you just feed him. Just keep feeding him, but don't show him where you got your source. Right? And that's a business principle, isn't it? Where you getting your stuff from? Where you sourcing your things out from? Do you go and publicize it? If you go and publicize, your business will go down. So you look at that business from a director's perspective, from his viewpoint. So in a similar manner, when you are sitting by the mashayikh, etc., now you're looking at it differently. Now you begin to understand things at a different level, from one level, second level, higher level. Right? So then you get that refined understanding of the whole science, the whole nature, all right, this is how it works, this is why they do this, this is why they do this. And Al Mu'adh Thami Sahib Rahmatullah was very particular in creating this type of concern. Because he knew, alright, that the sheikh that comes, he's there for a short period, right? And then he has to leave. Right? He passes away and he carries on. But then it is his successors that must continue the work. But in order for them to continue the work, they need to derive the taste, the understanding. They must understand it very well. Not half-half. Otherwise, if it's half, it's like that first brick in the foundation that's placed wrong. Now, you can put up that edifice as high as you want to, everything is going to go crooked. But you put it straight, everything will come straight. Hazrat used to have students also in Thanabun, like there was a Khan Karani, and there were students as well. And in India, they have a system, and one is some students, the madrasa has a certain quota, right? To feed 1,000 students, 2,000 students, according to the strength of the madrasa, they have a quota. But now, sometimes you got a quota of 3,000 and you got 4,000 students. So who's going to feed the other 1,000? Then in many towns, it is the townspeople that will offer, alright, one house will say, I'll take 10, some will say, I'll take 50. So then the students are required to go to those homes, take their tiffins, and bring the food. So the similar practice was in Thanabon. Some students, their food arrangements was made, and others would fetch their food from different homes. So one student, with bright features and all that, nice, tall, elegant, bright, good features, he came up to us, the one day, and he says, "Main kal se khane lene ke liye jaunga nahi. From tomorrow onwards, I am not going to fetch the food from that home that you had asked me to go and fetch." Bhai, kya ho gaya? What happened? So he says that I went the previous day to go fetch food, but that woman is a widow. Right? And she is sending a message that she wants to marry me. Right? She saw me. Now this youngster is elegant, good looking, good features, promising, etc. And she sent a message that she wants to marry me. Now, Hazrat is training them. Like I say, that the mashayikh, they live for a short period and they're gone. And the ones that they train, they must continue. So Hazrat is telling him, isme kya baat ho gayi, phir shaadi kar lete. See how Hazrat is talking to him. See, the tone is in. Isme kya baat ho gayi, shaadi kar lete, sunnat hai shaadi karna. What's wrong? You should have got married to him. Marriage is sunnat. So he said, "Hazrat, nah, kya baat ho gayi, bhai? Why you so disinterested in marrying this girl, this woman?" So he says, "The reason is that if I marry this girl, this woman, definitely it is sunnat. I'm not committing a sin. I'm taking care of her. She's sorted out. I'm sorted out. It's no sin in that respect. But then the word will go out. The students come here and they look for girls here. Look for girls. Right? Now people will take the other end of the stick and they will say, these students come around here and they look for girls. So, ye to phir madrasa ke liye to badnami ka sabab banega. Then this will be an embarrassment for the whole madrasa. Achha, these students, they come here and they come to get married. With this mindset they come in that they must get married. So the mother is like, it's landed with an embarrassment. So others said, "Mashallah, wah 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 wah. Khub, apne khub kaha." They said, "Excellent thought. See how he's thinking. He's not thinking short term, he's thinking long term. So these mashayikh, they open your mind like this. When they reason with you and they talk to you like this, they open your mind. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, one youngster, not a youngster, in fact an elderly person, 30, 40 years of age, he comes to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and he says, my younger brother, this man that is 35, 40 years of age, he's complaining about his younger brother. He says, my younger brother has just come of age, 14 and a half. And he has a very informal relationship with my wife. Because my wife had brought him up, napkins and all that. My wife had brought him up. So now that informal relationship carries on. She treats him like a son and all that. And now and then they get talking, you know, and when they get talking, you know, you say something strange and the other says, Mari, then you clap your hand and all that. So Mufti Rahmatullah is checking this person out. He's watching this person out. Okay, what he's trying to get at. See, he's leading him into a conversation, but he wants to see now what is in his mind. They say, what's wrong in that? If they're talking like informally, it's like her son, so they're talking informally, what's wrong? Why are you so worried about it? So now look, this is a villager, but see how his mind is running. What? And that boy is just turning mature. Murayk, he's just coming mature, coming of age. So he says to Mufti Rahmatullah, Na Mufti Ji, na. Patani ke kab current lag jaye. No, you don't know whether current will just ignite, you know. Current will, something will just shock up. So, See, so when these mashayikh, they talk to you so that they can open your mind. They open your mind. And when they open your mind, it's not that they hate you or they dislike you. No. Mother will talk to a lot of people and he'll open their minds. And then they'll say, Maaf karna. I'm not punishing you. But now it's a matter of fact. I need to open your mind. Now how must I open your mind? You don't even allow me to open up your mind. If I say something, Maaf karna, Maaf karna, I'm very sorry. By meta intikam thora le rao, I'm not punishing you. Imposing any penalty upon you. But the thing is, then how do you expect me to open your mind? Tomorrow you have to do this work. But your mind hasn't opened up. You didn't get that refined taste. Now how do I get that working into you? So this is why they open up. They open up these things to you. That your mind opens up. You begin to see things in a different perspective. So what I was explaining today is this aspect of pride. And where this thing comes from, that you want something distinguished. Then I branched off and I said, that why is ghibat worse than zina? Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Right? There are several reasons, but one of the reasons for ghibat being worse than zina is because of pride. Because of pride. Pride is where one person considers himself to be superior, right? He considers himself to be greater than the other. Right? So if he's a buzruk, like says Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi, will any of you make ghibat of him? Nobody will make ghibat of him, right? But one of your contemporaries, it is possible that you make ghibat of him. Is it right or not? You can make ghibat of him. But a person of that status, that caliber, or Hazrat Ji or Masihullah Sabran, will you make ghibat? You won't make ghibat. Right? But someone that is around your age, will you make ghibat about him? It's likely that you can make. And what's the reason? Him, you looked at with a different eye, and your contemporary, you looked with a different eye. Right? Here you didn't look at him with that amount of respect. Say, well, he's one of us. I can talk about him because he's ye ye kya hai? Ye to mere langoti dost hai. He's my napkin friend. We grew up together. So he's nothing. He's smaller than me. So you're looking at him with nazre hikarat. You look little down upon him. And that person, you look at him with esteem and respect. So you don't make ghibat of. But the person that you look with a little bit of hikarat, with a little bit of insignificance, disdain, with a little bit of disdain or contempt, right? You consider yourself to be superior, that person you see with a little bit of contempt. Then you think, well, I can talk as I want about him. He is not like this person yet. So you consider him inferior. When you consider him inferior, then that is takabbur. You consider the person inferior, so that is takabbur. Understand? And that is why that ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina, because it's linking up, it's bridging up with takabbur, therefore al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Whereas that person who does zina, he feels embarrassed about, hey, what I did, man. Mere jaakar ke muh kaala kar diya, what I did now. Of all these things, what can I, what? Ramzan month and I did this. But the man will be sitting one side, making ghibat. In Quran Sharif, after that one person comes, and you know what happened? This thing happened. And I'll carry on reading Quran Sharif, don't think anything about the ghibat that I made, right? In the masjid, reading Quran Sharif, one side making ghibat, the other side, you don't think. But the person who's committed zina, how he thinks, hey, don't look at anybody, what a stupid thing I did, and you know, this guna will be forgiven, Ramzan month and I did this thing here. So how do you feel about yourself? You feel miserable. You feel really down about yourself. Such a evil thing, shameful thing I did. So you feel very hurt about it, you feel very down, you feel right, miserable. And that you carry on, making 10 ghibat, 50 ghibat, but you don't think about it at all. And the worst is the ghibat of people that are a little bit learned, right? People that are a little bit learned, their ghibat is even worse. They'll find some ta'wil, some explanation for the ghibat. No, but now this is a circumstance we can. Why? Because if we don't expose this person here, then, you know, that sin will become even more widespread. So we have to expose it. So some explanation, the mansha is something else. You want to expose the person. You want to run down the person, somehow, you know, run him down. But now you're looking for a justification for the wrong that you're doing. Not realizing that justification may work here, but in the court of Allah, will it work? I may tell you, or I'm making ghibat of him because of this reason. Now, I'll justify my stance. But the intelligent thing is to think about this. Okay, alright, I will justify it in your presence. You may accept my explanation. But by Allah Ta'ala, will the same justification work? I will tender so many reasons. I did this for this reason and that reason. That you can't bluff Allah Pak. He is your creator. Right? He knows what's the tricks in your mind. The tricks in your mind, he knows about it exactly. So you can't play around with it. That is why this ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. And often I say that these are the two gunas, you know, these are two gunas that are the challenge of the time. People say, you know, one challenges. You can't do one job, monotonous, same job now. Same job. 10 years ago we're doing the same job, now 10 years later, same job. You want something else. So the challenge of the time is this nafs and shaitan. And moreover, the challenges appear in two ways, either the eyes or the tongue. This challenge of the nafs and shaitan, they will express themselves either from the eye or from the tongue. And that's why you can safely say, inshallah, by the will of Allah Ta'ala, and by His fazl, if someone takes very good control of the eyes and very good control of the tongue, inshallah, main to samajhta hoon unka kaam khuda ke fazl se ho hi jayega. He will bera paar ho jayega. He will, inshallah, be successful. He looks after his eyes properly, 100%. And tongue he looks after, he takes care of 100%. Inshallah, I have umeed in Allah Ta'ala that this person will be a jannati. But 100% he must look after his eyes, 100% tongue. Not a single thing, not a single haram with the tongue. Not a single haram or doubtful thing with his eyes. No matter what, no matter how difficult it is, but, and no matter where he is, whether he is in a shopping mall, whether he is at home, whether he is in front of the newspaper, whether he is on the cell phone, but 100% with the eyes, 100% with the tongue. He is absolutely careful. Now this type of gunas, sometimes they are very discreet over the phone, or that girl is speaking, hey, hi there. Huh? And at that time, the insan to chuha ban jata, he becomes a mouse at that time. He can't say, you know, and voice is so nice, and you know, early in the morning, and this type of cheerful voice, and you know, let's entertain a conversation, you know, a cheer. Maybe I can talk to her about some deen, you know. Shaitan comes in some very, very wonderful ways, exciting ways, very exciting ways. For Moran will come from deen ways, or talk about deen, maybe she'll come close, you know. So these are the very discreet ways of shaitan. Very, very discreet ways of shaitan. You don't know. Don't ever get into that trap. Better not even talk to this woman. Not even talk to this woman. I was explaining to someone that one email came from, the person is asking a question from India, you know. So he says that he is the head of the IT in Jaipur and Hyderabad. So he received an email. So he is the head of the both departments, but the one in Jaipur, there is a woman there, so she has to communicate with him for some job or the other, whatever it is. So now, this person says, I've got an intention to get married to this woman there. And then he says, no, because she speaks to me with a lot of respect. She says, she calls me Saeed Bhai, you know. So show me the respect she's showing me, so I want to get married to her, to propose, we're already discussing it. Now that one bhai, she just said Saeed Bhai, and ye to bhajiya ho gaya. He became a bhajiya after that. Understand? Just that one word of the ruin is so venomous that he melted totally. Now he's asking a masla, that girl called me Saeed Bhai now. Now can we marry each other? He's calling me bhai. Alright. He is now comparing it with zihar and all that. That's another masla. That's a different thing. So I tell you now that masla doesn't apply. But in the meanwhile, it's not permissible for you to have an informal, casual relationship like this, even over the telephone with a woman. And they don't even know about this. Casual, no. We're just talking, you know, we're just discussing things like that, of mutual interest, business, finance and all that, you know. But in between what's happening, Allah Pak knows. Nafs apna hissa le leta hai. That nafs takes his, he does his work in between, all that he does it. So that's why I say, that we are looking for challenges. And in this day and zamana, the real challenge is eye and tongue. You know, IT, yeah? IT business. Right? The IT business, look at it. Yeah? You look after that IT, inshallah, it will be jannati. Yeah? IT. This thing of IT, it will be jannati. Inshallah, make niyad. Today is a Thursday night, Friday, Mubarak night. Make niyad. No matter what, how difficult. Now, your take off time is easy because you're in the environment already, right? There's none of the haram that you can see and all that, right? But the moment you get out of that i'tikaf, then you must, no. I made this niyad in the masjid, in front of Allah Ta'ala, that I'm not going to be in this IT business at all. I'm not going to be in the IT business at all. Then I need to be very firm on my guns after that. Made that intention with Allah Ta'ala. After that, I need to be very firm. No matter what happens after that. Let me tell you, you won't lose out anything. In fact, you'll bring pleasure to your life. When you can control and you can take care of these things, you'll bring pleasure and enjoyment. Otherwise, there won't be any end to the agony and the grief and the pain that you have. If you can't look after yourself, the pain, the agony, the type of trauma that you suffer from within, there won't be any end of it. And in this way, for the beginning perhaps you will have some difficulty. In the beginning you have some difficulty, you know, how must look after my eye, how must look after my tongue. At the beginning there will be some difficulty. But once you have a little bit of a control over this, then you'll find that there's no end to the enjoyment and happiness. But you don't look after your eyes and your tongue, you'll be in perpetual trauma, in pain, in difficulty. Because you're swearing someone, insulting someone, not using after your tongue, rebirth, anger, the breach of trust, gossiping, carrying tales, spurring up one against the other. Right? So you involve in that, otherwise involve in a sin related to the eye. And as a result, what happens? The love and the muhabbat that's supposed to be between you and your wife is lost. Because now you're going into town, right? And you're looking at Mrs. Casserole, Mrs. Biryani, Mrs. Plough. And when you come home, again you see, Wahi Dar Chawal. That same Dar Chawal I was eating 10 years ago, same thing I'm seeing at home. Right? Now there's no excitement there. That one they eat casserole, pizza, this one here. This. So variety is the spice of life. Now you see all that variety and then you come and see your wife, you lost taste for her. Now there's going to be a fight. Where you don't have that happiness, you don't find that enjoyment, you don't find that pleasure. That's why I say this is a means for the survival of your marriage. For the happiness in the house. But this absolutely 100% look after your eyes, 100% look after your tongue, and you'll find enjoyment in your life. In your personal marital life, you'll find enjoyment, happiness. You have to reason with yourself. The beginning of the reason yourself is the same enjoyment. It's nothing different. Right? A Coke, right? If you're drinking Coke from one can, from one bottle, from one glass, or from one mug, it'll give you any different taste. Same taste. Mug, bottle, can, glass, whatever, same taste. Just that the appearance is different. But otherwise, they give you the same taste. So you think now, the woman is going to give the same taste, you know, whether it's from the can, or whether she's wearing a jeans, or whether she's wearing whatever, top and pants, whatever she's wearing, but he's going to give you the same taste. Now, don't worry about, hey, see like this and that one is like that. You will worry too much of this finer aspects, then you will lose the respect and the love, affinity and bond that you're supposed to have with your dear wife. So what Shariat actually teaches you is how to make this worldly life even easier and enjoyable. Really, if you just, you know, examine the Sharia, see, for a person who doesn't know, he'll see it will sound like difficult because he doesn't know about it. But the one that sees a little bit, just scratches the surface, he sees, no, the Shariat is telling me something that will make my life enjoyable, easier, manageable, more pleasant, right? So this is the lesson we learned today. First I spoke about pride, and then I spoke about the IT business, right? Allah Pak give all tawfiq.